You'll turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to look at that passage, Ecclesiastes chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 1 through 11. I'll read a few of those in just a moment. We'll go through all of those tonight as we come to this and as we think about where we're at in this passage. So let's stand and read God's Word. I said in my heart, come now, I will test with you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure and be surely. This also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched in my heart how to gratefully my flesh with wine, while guiding my heart with wisdom, and how to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was good of the sons of men, to do under heaven all the days of our lives. And I made my works great. I built myself houses and planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards and planted all kinds of fruit trees. And I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, as we come tonight, I give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. Father, I pray for those that we've mentioned by name just a few moments ago. I pray for healing of bodies and strengthening of lives, Father. Just be with them and strengthen them. Father, guide us and direct us in all that we do, that we glorify your Son. Father, as we sing the song, Trust and Obey, that we understand that if we're going to be called Christians, we need to live it out. And the only way to do that is to trust in your Word, and your Word is life, Father. Guide us and direct us as we go through this coming election and this time of the year as we're seeking you, Father. Just guide us and direct us, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. You know, we've talked so far about wisdom, and Solomon was wanting to see if wisdom would have been what he needed. And now he's going to talk about the vanity of pleasure and these things that he talks about. And he says, now I'll come and test with mirth, therefore enjoy pleasure and the joy, and see this take place. And he's going to see that joy or gladness. Is there anything to this life? Is this all there is? We kind of heard that this morning as I was thinking about what John was talking about, and I've studied a little bit about the Hindu belief and things of being reincarnated and things, and they talk about life being a cycle, and for most of us in this room tonight, that's not an issue. We know what life is about, but we need to realize that a lot of those kind of thoughts are in our country. Or in Bells, Texas. There's a lot of folks that read these other materials, and maybe they don't even read that material, but they just think that, you know, this life is all there is. There's nothing beyond this. And that's what he's saying here, is this all there is, and things. And there's so many that's out there. The gentleman from India, when he made that comment about, you know, Is that it? He said, I don't understand you burying a body. I don't understand. That's not what we do. You know, as simple as a funeral. And then what he said about the little girl and that, it hit home with me just because of the fact of how many times we've used a funeral. And you know, my view of funerals is it's my opportunity to preach the gospel message to those that's left and things. And sometimes that is the only opportunity we're going to have to preach a gospel message to some of those folks, because they'll never come into the church building and things. They're going to seek after everything else and think it's fun and that life is a joy and all of that. And that's what Solomon is saying here, that this life is all there is. But we know, and Solomon knows, that that's not the case. But that's what our world does. And so we need to think through this as we look at the things that our world are talking about and how to talk to this younger generation that are talking about that want to enjoy pleasure and things. You know, I always get a little frustrated when I hear somebody, and it's usually younger people, that says, well, you know, it's just not fun being a Christian. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about, because I'm having a ball. You know, I have a ball doing all that I do and things and different things. Now, this is probably not a real theological show for y'all to be watching, but I may get in trouble for this, but there's a TV show on called Duck Dynasty, and the guys with the beards. And the thing about that show that I like, yeah, Evie, I watch it too, okay? It's all right. But do you notice when they close it, they're always praying? And they're thanking God for what, you know, and I just see some of my family members in that picture, okay? Especially the one sitting on the back row in the last episode that they had. Bruce didn't see it, so he doesn't know what I'm talking about. But But the thing is those guys are having fun. You know, over a tea glass, they have fun. Over the things of life. But it all goes back to their basis that God gave them everything they have. Our world doesn't see that. And when we're dealing with people, we need to understand that not everybody that we're coming in contact with understands Scripture like we do. They're not in church on a Sunday night. They might come on a Sunday morning just to see what it is, but they don't really understand what we're talking about. This morning, there was probably some in our service that might have been the first or second time they've ever been into a church service. And to see us want to help other people around the world, they saw us do something that they're like, why would you do that? And so I want us to see that this life is not all there is. And I know we know that, but our world doesn't always understand that, I think, in many ways. In verse 2, he says, and laughter is madness, and of mirth or joy, what does it accomplish? You know, we had a little laugh there about what I just said. You know, I think laughter is good. Too much laughter, I think, is not so good. You know, I want to see that and us understand that and things. And I think that's what Solomon is saying there, that if it's all about having a good time, well, we need to think about that, because that's not really what life is all about. Because when you walk through and see people, as John talked about this morning, there's hurting people in Bells, Texas that may need food, they may need clothing, they may need to be reach for it. And so just to laugh things off, you know, what does it accomplish? What is the purpose in all of that? Now, most of you know I'm not one of those that does a lot of joking and things, because I have to understand and I want you to see this and things. But in my role as pastor and as shepherd, I have to my word means things. And so when I say stuff, if I'm always joking from here, I don't think you take it the same. You know, my words need to be that way. And I think as a Christian, we need to think through that and things. Not that we can't have fun and enjoy it, but he's saying if that's all you're wanting, then what's it going to accomplish is what Solomon's saying there. In verse 3, he says that he searched after wine and it allowed it to get our heart. You know, one of the big things that we see in our world today is that very thing. That, you know, Proverbs talks about this. When wine is a marker, strong drink is a broiler. Whoever is led astray is not wise. You know, we need to see that. In our country, alcohol is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And so, you know, and again, but there's so many people that's what they turn to for their answers and things. We need to show them that that's not what's out there for us. We need to come to Christ and see that. And preach it and see it in our lives. That I think that's one thing that we need to show the people is how we get through difficulties. Instead of turning to something like that, we turn to God, we seek His face, we pray and ask Him. And that's not, again, what the world is always going to do. In verses 4 through 6, and 1 Kings really talks about all of these projects that he's listed here. But Solomon talks about all of his great works, the things that his hands have done. And that's really, I think, where we're at in America is a lot of what, you know, I built myself, Solomon says. I did this, and that's what we're about. And we may not say it in as many words as that, you know, I deserve this, or I this is mine. You know, I saw yesterday when we had the party, you know, it wasn't really bad because they're only 1 and 2 years old. But, you know, everybody, little children, they're always, that's mine. Well, we're just bigger toys and we do the same thing. Okay, our world is the same thing. You know, we think that company owes us a paycheck at the end of the week. And that paycheck is mine and I get to use it for whatever I want to use it for. And things, no matter what is going on or who might need help or any of that. And we build these great things and things. I see that take place. Now, I know that here we probably, you know, to talk about it, but sometimes our gods become the things that we own. John and I was talking this morning about how the gentleman from India, when that in that class system, and you know, when he said that he was the heir The one thing I want you to understand is there were, and I may have the wrong, not the exact, but if there was 11 females and he was the only man, those 11 females were not going to inherit anything. That society's different than ours in things. And so he was going to get everything that was theirs. And there was three families that had three of those temples. And what it was is if you wanted to appease the temple, you brought your stuff. You brought not only your tithes, but you brought your offerings. And it was financial things that they were getting. So he left all of that and gave it up to serve Christ. John told me that he gave it up to the point that when he got to that town and he rode that bus for 3 days and was bleeding and his pajamas was covered in cake blood from 3 days and was infected from the cut that was on his chin, said he slept in a cafe that sold curry to the Dalits. And he got his pay was that whatever was left after they served all day, that was his food. And his other part of the pay was he got to sleep under a picnic table inside the cafe. Gave up riding in chariots, a house that had 16 bedrooms in it, to underneath a picnic table. How many of us would be willing to give up much what we have to serve Christ? But Solomon saw that as much as Solomon had, and if you read in 1 Kings, Solomon had everything. I mean, he built the palace. He built the temple that is architecturally designed and things was so amazing. His gardens and what he talks about there in those verses of how he dug pools that they could water the trees out of and irrigation systems and all of this and things, the beauty of what Solomon had built and things, but that it was the thing that he was turning his eyes away. You know, we sing the song, Trust and Obey. We talk about serving Christ, but our problem is we always want more, more, more. The problem of lust, and not necessarily sexual as much as, you know, I just got to have more. One more year of retirement, one more year of this or that, or whatever it might be. You know, we need to be sure that we're doing what God has called us to do with those things, and I think that's what Solomon is saying here in these verses as we think through that and think about, you know, evaluate what we have and things. In verses 7 through 9, we even see that he acquired male and female servants and had servants born in his house. I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and special treasure of kings and of provinces. I acquired male and female singers and delights of the sons of men and musical instruments of all kinds. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. That he had the servants. He had all of these things that were going on. You know, now, we need to be careful and realize that slaves is slavehood is not right, and we need to see that. That's what he was talking some this morning about and things. But Solomon had that and had all of those things, again, the silver and the gold, the delights of men. In Romans 13, it says, let us walk properly as in the day, not reveling in drunkenness, nor lewdness, nor lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision of the flesh to fulfill its lust. In Hebrews 11:25, choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Again, we need to think about, do we need the things that we keep getting in things? Now, I'm not saying that any of you's got more than you need. That's not what I'm talking about. But Solomon was saying, I had everything. Nobody could have wanted more. No one even before me had all the things that I did. And as we'll see in a few moments, it's not going to mean anything. You know, as we think about that, what's going to matter is what have we done for Jesus? What are we doing? And think through that and realize that. And I think that's key. I think we need to really think through those things. I want to look at this last part in verses 10 through 11. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled. And I, indeed, all was vanity, grasping for the wind. There was no profit under the sun. Boy, verse 10 doesn't describe most of America. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep it from me. Whatever we want, we go get. You know, I was just wondering this morning. Those people are willing to use what little money they have to buy school supplies for a school that's not even been built yet, because they're hoping for something better for their children. You know, now as I talk to many of you tonight, you lived through or heard of the story of the Depression. Now, most of us, some of us in this room, we weren't old enough to do that. But I think most of us realize that God has blessed us as in what we have. We're probably living so much better than our predecessors. You know, if they looked at us, they would think we were very wealthy. But my question to us is, are we as wealthy as they were? Because they believed what this book said. They were willing to do what it took to build churches. They were willing to go out and reach out to a community and serve around the world and different things. Are we willing to reach our community? You know, it was back in that generation, the church was the center of the community. Everything revolved around it. Not always that case anymore. You know, Blake made the comment this morning of how they appreciate us doing what we do on Friday nights for a place for those kids to come and be out of the dangers of this world. But we need to realize, and you know, I'm so thankful we're in a church that's willing to sacrifice. That many of you have sacrificed for many years here at First Baptist and are continuing to do that to meet the needs of this community, of helping those that are in need, to give to the needy, to help in reaching out to kids that we may never see. But the fact is we've got to do that we've got to see it. Our world doesn't see that, and they don't see it enough, and I think that's what is he's talking about here. And he looked at the works of his hand and the labors of which he had toiled, and he says, it's all vanity. You know, there's all of those songs out there that says that we work all of life, and what do we get for it? You know, and the same thing is the difference in little boys and big boys is the price of their toys. You know, but we are to enjoy life as we can and enjoy life, because we're not going to be able to take anything with us. We need to realize that all of this stuff that our world says is important is vanity. It's like grasping for the wind. I got a great illustration, and he's not even in here tonight. But 2 days this week, I watched Trip, and we went outside. When Poppy runs out of things to do, we go outside, because that's his thing. And it was windy on Thursday and Friday. And he was in his little police car that I found on the side of the road. And he figured out how to get in it. But the wind was blowing. And we're under some big pecan trees in my front yard that y'all see, the ladies will see tomorrow night. And when the pecan trees, you know how pecan trees are right now. There's always something falling and things. And he would look up and he would see those leaves falling. And he would try to stand up and grab them. Or the wind would blow. I don't know if the wind was blowing in his face or what, but he's like grabbing at it. And I thought of this passage as I've been studying it this week, that's how we are. He doesn't understand. He's trying to grasp the wind. He can't catch it. But don't we try to do the same thing? Solomon is saying, with all of his wisdom, everything I want to do is like trying to grasp the wind, and I can't catch it. And dang. Now, Tripp's not hardly old enough to understand that principle yet, but we are. And if we're trying to grasp things that we can't catch. And so we've got to really think about it. And I think that's where we need to pray and seek God in doing this. You know, the passage just prior to what was read this morning from Matthew 25, verse 21 says, His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful in over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your life. He also had received two talents, came and said, Lord, you delivered me two talents. Look, I've gathered two more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you a ruler over many. Enter into the joy of your life. We want to know how to have joy in this life. It's to give it away. It's to take what God gives us. And many of us, if we really look at it, although we think our jobs are so hard or whatever it might be, those are blessings that we have them. They're blessings that God has given us to help other people. And some of you that are here, because of what the decisions you made throughout life, you're here today and you're still able to help. You're still able to give, to make cookies and pray and help us feed, make sandwiches. Or, you know, maybe you can't make the sandwiches anymore, but you gave us the finances, so we made the sandwiches and things. Or you gave the money that we could make the stuff, get the stuff for the nachos and things, and fed 150 kids on a Friday night. Down the road, they're going to start thinking about, you know, why would that church do that? Why would all of those adults that don't even have kids in that school be out there on a Friday night to watch us? Now, they may not have thought that Friday night. They probably thought some of our rules were a little bad because they couldn't go outside and be goofy. But they could be inside and be goofy okay. See, I think there's a lot of those kids that they want those rules so they don't get in trouble. And for us to say, you can't go outside. If you go out, you can come back in. You have to stay inside. I think that's what they're looking for. And I think that's where we understand that our joy is in doing those things. You know, I know we were all tired about 1 o'clock Saturday morning from being out there all night. Some of us are getting too old to be out there and things. But the fact of seeing those kids do that, and I think that's what Solomon's talking about. He said, I've searched it. I've, you know, everything that's a blessing, it's all vanity. It's all like the wind. It's all like grasping the wind. What's going to profit us is what we've done with Jesus. We're living in a world that's not what everybody's wanting to hear, but I encourage us to follow Christ in doing that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, I give you the praise, glory, and the honor for tonight. Father, if there's any in this room that need to make a decision, tonight's the night. But Father, it's really about you. It's about us living a life to realize that it's showing you in our lives, that we be the people you've called us to be. Father, guide us and direct us in all that we do. Mold us and shape us into thy image, Father. And I thank you for this church and for it being a lighthouse to this community, for all those that have done so many wonderful things here in all of these years, Father, that right here in this spot, you've given us a blessing of serving in this community. And Father, the joy of seeing those that are still serving at the ages that they are and knowing that maybe they're not able to do what they used to do a few years ago, but they're still willing to give and to serve, Father. I praise you for that. I thank you for a people that love you. And Father, I know that when we all pass from this life, our joy will be when your words are said to us, Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in and live with joy. And oh, Father, what joy that will be, that eternity will be spent worshiping a holy God. And as the group sang tonight, we'll fly away. Oh, what a song that is, Father. And we thank you for it. Guide us and direct us in all that we do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.